I used to think 10 was the magic number. Now I'm thinking it might be 9. Because I'm not sure Atlanta can go 3-2. He couldn't have a pick if I threw the ball. Where is this overwhelming defensive talent?
All right, Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here, Mr. Ira Kaufman, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, the custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. The Buccaneers are tied for first place. Ecstasy in the streets, Ira. Two-game winning streak after that game in Carolina yesterday. We're going to have some fun on this podcast. We're going to be fast. We're going to be furious. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Get there. Curry is the family name. C-U-R-R-I-E. Bill Curry Ford. They've got amazing discounts going right now, Ira, for the end of the year. And everybody gets the Ira Kaufman podcast. Excuse me. Everybody gets the Ira Kaufman discount if they talk to Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, and ask for it. But more important, Sean will talk Bucks with you. But he'll also answer any questions you might have. He's your best friend in the car business, BillCurryFord.com. They're amazing with service. They've got 100 loaner vehicles. They will do service at your home. They'll pick you up and bring you in if you want a test drive. They'll do everything they can. They're fantastic. A mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. So many discounts, Ira. Get to BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. And we'll talk a little later about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Now, there's no Black Friday craziness at Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira, because they're just there for everybody 24/7. That's what it's all about. If you have mold, fire, flood damage, storm damage, any kind of disaster to your most prized possession, which is your home or your business, call Florida's Elite Restoration. They're online 24/7, so you can prepare. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. They also have an Ira Kaufman discount, which we'll explain later, Ira. So look, that ball game, Ira, took years off our lives. That Buccaneers game against a crappy Panthers team. Now you guys understand what I've said before, that hey, I watch Panthers football. They stink. They just don't have the talent to do great things. Yet here the Bucs were, one play from disaster, potentially. And, of course, the Bucs could have ended the game in the fourth quarter if they could have punched in a touchdown from the two-yard line there. They would have won by two scores. We'd be singing a different song. But, Ira, I'm going to go away. I'm going to clear the floor for you. And then Lee is here. He may go bananas.
He might.
It might be, who knows what's going to happen.
It could be a Classic Lee performance.
And then you don't know what I'm going to say after that, Ira, but go ahead. How are you?
Here we go. Thanks, baby. And I want our listeners to know something, Lee. It's 49 degrees, and we're sitting outside at Panera Bread. I wanted to go in. I was outvoted 2-1, and that's the way it is.
You got to bring a coat next time. Real quick here. I mean, this reminds me of one of the greatest one-liners I ever heard.
Is it from Mike Lombardi?
No. I was covering a... When I was working in Chicago, I was covering a high school baseball game.
All right.
And it was a typical Chicago spring day where the temperature drops like 25 degrees in an hour. Front rolls through. And the home team, the umpire, expanded his strike zone, like doubled the size because it's getting cold. And a key pitch in the last inning, the home team, the batter took a pitch and it was way low. Might have been in the dirt.
Steve Reich.
Yep, called it a strike. And the manager of the home team... This is the greatest one-liner I ever heard. He yells at the plate umpire, "If you bring a sweater next time, you won't be in such a hurry to leave."
Well,
and that's what I'm thinking about you.
Lee, Steve, with a nice little intro about how bad the Panthers are. Lee, must I remind our fearless leader?
To chew your food?
I see a blowout. I see a Bucks blowout. The Panthers suck. It's going to be 37-14. Well, Steve, here's my takeaway. The Bucs haven't always gotten breaks this year. As a matter of fact, Lee, sometimes they got lousy breaks. But I'll tell you this, Lee, they got every freaking break in the world yesterday. Mm. Must I list them? Two very makeable field goals. Wide left. Wide left. The fumble, of course. The fumble. Somebody could say, well, Bucky Irving fumbled at Atlanta. Well, that cost the Bucs that game, and that cost the Panthers that game. They got a lot of breaks, Lee. A lot of breaks, and they barely did enough to take advantage of it. The first half was horrendously horrendous. They scored one touchdown. It took a fabulous catch by Evans. Not a great throw by Mayfield. Not a great throw. An okay throw. You can't expect a guy to come up and make, you know, Evans makes it look easy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's maybe five guys in the league that could have made that catch. And Adam Thielen might be one of them. That guy can still play. That guy could still play. I've been yakking that the Chiefs should have got him at midseason.
Yeah,
he's a reliable veteran. And Mahomes, you know, could use that. Anyway, Bulls can't win. Lee, he can't win for losing. They win the game. They're 6-6. They're tied atop the division. And Buck Nation, screaming. When you do the Bulls poll this week, it ain't going to be pretty, Steve. It's not going to be pretty. You already did one on how do you think the Bucks did, and the results were horrible from a Buck perspective. Lee, if they played a better team, they lose that game.
Absolutely.
And besides the two field goals, that Thielen catch could have easily been ruled a touchdown. Easily. What happened? They didn't have the proper replay angle.
We've heard that before.
So they could have been down double digits at the half, and who knows what happens in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the good news, Lee?
The game's over.
McLaughlin is great. McLaughlin is great. Every time he misses a kick, I'm shocked. That's a clutch 51-yarder. That's clutch. Right down the middle, right down Broadway. Lee, I don't know if you made a note of this, but when Mayfield got stepped on and he looked bad.
He was scared.
I looked at the clock and I said, hey, I already got my lead for my takeaways column. The Bucs season ended at 6:20 p.m. on a Sunday evening. It was 6:20. It looked bad, Lee.
Well, he was scared.
It looked bad. Now I'm worried about Bucky Irving with a hip point.
Yeah.
But we shall see. Lee, another fantastic day running the football. I believe, Steve, that's two different games this year that the Bucs have run for over 250 yards. They did it against the Saints. I don't think that's happened very often in franchise history. Twice in the same season. Might be a first. I'm going to look into it. Offensive line, great run blocking, Lee. I didn't like their pass protection.
Agreed.
I didn't like it.
Agreed.
And Derrick Brown wasn't playing, and he's a Bucs killer. Because I remember Bowles telling me last year, we couldn't block Derrick Brown. So they didn't have to worry about him, and here comes Max Crosby, who you do have to block.
You better. By the way, Barton had his worst game as a rookie. I don't know what was in his head, but terrible game.
I thought Wirfs played very well, considering the circumstances.
Absolutely.
He absolutely did. To me, the story's Bucky Irving. It's the story, Lee. I mean, he took over in the second half, and in the fourth quarter on that drive that put him ahead, it was the Bucky Irving show. Steve, what do you have, 7 carries in that drive? They decided this is the way to win this game.
They had no choice.
Well, they could have gave it to number one, Rashad White.
Well, they wanted to win.
Well, by the way, he made a big run.
He did, but he's not the running back that Bucky Irving is.
So, Steve, before I toss it over to our comrade, Mr. DeKemper, I will say this. They didn't look ready to play.
Oh, no, they didn't.
They didn't look ready to play, Lee. And coming off the Giants game, which I found very little fault to nitpick on, I got a lot of faults in this game. A win's a win, Steve. A win's a win. But damn, they didn't play a good game.
Before we throw to Lee, I just got to nitpick one thing before I don't know if I can hold it. The Panthers got their share of big breaks too, Ira. When's the last time a team was on the other end of such a terrible punting and kickoff performance?
That's
I don't know.
That's bad punting.
No, that's a break.
Because
that's
they got bad punting. Okay.
Yeah, because they got the bad punting. There were also two terrible calls, a roughing the passer on Yaya Diaby that was nonsense, which they said on television. There was also a 15-yard penalty on Antoine Winfield. He's just shooting in to try to tackle
a
guy.
He's groveling on the floor. He's not hitting anybody.
He didn't even touch anybody, and they
that's
said, well,
call.
He went low on the lineman. They got their share of breaks. I just got to throw that out there.
Okay.
Huh, where do I start?
Lee, do you want to look at the positives or you want to look at the problems?
I look at the big picture. Big picture is this team's not making the playoffs. I hope I'm wrong.
Lee, Atlanta's falling apart.
Did the Bucks look like they're on top of their game? They almost lost to one of the worst teams in the league. They should have lost to one of the worst teams in the
Atlanta's
league.
Atlanta's got a quarterback controversy, Lee.
Gee, who picked that? Who thought that was going to happen? Me?
Yep.
I called that back in freaking August.
That could tear the team apart. I mean, absolutely could. There's guys in that locker room that want Penix to play, Lee.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
You know that.
You can't tell me they didn't know when they took the field. All they need is a win, and they're tied for first.
Right.
To come out and play that terribly with no energy, sleepwalking, just going through the motions. I'm being polite when I say this. The defense was still crap, and just as bad as the Bucs played, they got equally bad coaching. I'm a big Liam Cohen fan. I still think he's going to be a head coach somewhere next year. But he did some absolutely brain-dead things. You guys were pointing to third down, give it to Rashad White. Mine was, Baker Mayfield got hurt. We don't know how bad he was at the time. I'm guessing Liam Cohen didn't know how bad he was.
We don't know his mobility.
Who knows what he got shot up with in the peep show tent. Comes out cold. Need 1 yard. What happens? a blind person could have seen what happens. Mayfield throws a pick, damn near a pick six. That play almost cost them the season. That was stupid. Now, Ball State was asked, was that play run? And Bowles, like, he was running his offense. You got to use some common sense, man.
Bowles don't call the plays.
Well, if you're Mike Lombardi, Lombardi says this all the time, you got to be the head coach. You got to get on headset and say, hey, man, this is what I want.
That's not the way Bowles operates.
Well, that might be a problem. That might be one reason why people are screaming for his head.
But you just talked about your trust in Liam Cohen. You just said it. I mean,
I'm a big Liam Cohen fan, but, you know, sometimes it does take a coach, no matter his personality, gets on headset. Now, Liam, we can't throw the ball here on third and one when we got a hot running back. He's hotter than Rachel Watson right now. You can't bring a guy.
And Mayfield's coming in cold.
I'll repeat this. We don't know what he was shot up with. So he's coming in with, at best, a numb ankle, his plant foot, and you're having him throw?
He had nothing on that throw, right, Steve? There's nothing.
I just couldn't believe that. I'm on TV, I'm like, what the hell did I just see? A grade school coach wouldn't pull a stunt like that.
Well, for me, and we're going to let Lee continue to rant, but Kyle Trask is in there, first down, second down. If you don't trust the guy on third and one, don't put him on the field.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Yes. If Mayfield's coming in hurt, that's the bottom line. Let Trask out there. If you don't trust him to complete a one-yard pass that you could have handed off to begin with, bad luck
by
the Bucs.
And I don't care if Mayfield's in Cone's ear. Put me back in. That don't matter.
Yeah, chew, Ira.
That don't matter. I'm chewing.
Now, with all that was on the line with that game, for them to come out like it was a freaking Wednesday night or Wednesday afternoon practice.
They said they got no margin for error, Lee. You got to show a little urgency.
Let's put it this way. They play like that against the Raiders? Raiders got talent. They'll kick their ass.
They lost eight in a row, Lee.
They lost eight in a row, but they got talent. Do you see a Max Crosby on the Panthers roster? Do you see Brock Bowers? I can go on. Raiders have some talent. I'm not saying they're a good team, but they have some talent. Panthers have no talent. Well, they have like four guys, maybe four guys that could start for the Bucs. And that's only because the Bucs have no inside linebackers anymore, not named Lavonte David. That's a different story.
Adam Thielen looked like Jamar Chase yesterday.
He entered the game with 11 catches, Ira. The guy's past his prime. He's a nice player.
He would start for the Bucs.
He's an old, broken-down player.
He would start for the Bucs.
I don't think so.
You take him over. You want to take him over Jalen McMillan?
He had some good years for the Vikings in his prime.
Oh yeah,
he was a pretty good player.
But the way that team came to play or didn't come to play, that shook me to my core. I can't see that team as we saw Sunday night. I cannot see that team making the playoffs.
It was a horror show, Steve. It's a horror show. I don't care if it was only 13-10. I don't care.
I cannot believe how not ready to play they were. Coaches had their heads up their rear ends, too. I was shook to my core. I really was.
Here's where I diverge from Mr. DeKemper, and you can weigh in on this.
I'm going to diverge on one thing first. One little thing.
All right.
One little thing. I don't believe the Bucs came out flat. 2-3 and outs by the defense. What more do we want? Now, Graham Barton came out with his head on planet Mars. Maybe he was nervous being back in North Carolina. Maybe he had a bunch of friends at the game. I don't know.
Duke has such a strong
program. But
that
opening drive that Liam Cohen is so good at scripting was screwed up by Barton with a bad snap. And so then they ended up with third and forever.
But, Steve, after they scored the touchdown on the Evans, they did nothing.
But I'm saying if we're saying coming out of the gate, they were up 7-3 after the first quarter. 2-3 and outs to start. Barton screws up the first drive. They go march all the way for a great touchdown on the second drive. They lost it somewhere in there, which is inexcusable, but I don't think they came out of the block dead. I really don't.
Well, they kept going 3-and-out, Lee, after the touchdown.
Well, if we're going to use the premise the Panthers are worse than the Birmingham Stallions, then I'm not impressed that they got a touchdown right away or got 2 3-and-outs. I can't see his team making the playoffs. I see his team losing two games. I hope I'm dead wrong. I have never come away with a Bucs win feeling like it was a loss.
Whoa.
Everything about that game was a loss, but they got a W. That's great. That counts. I get it. But I use this reference in one of my stories. Bobby Knight would kill his team if they won but had a bad game. He would put those guys through hell. He considered if they didn't play to what his standard was, all hell was going to break loose.
I think Parcells could be like that too.
Yeah, well, Parcells and Knight are the same guys. They were roommates. So I would have, if I was coach, I'm not a coach, obviously. Those guys would have had a full padded practice at 7 o'clock Monday morning. Instead, they got to go to Dairy Queen. They had no practice.
Wait, you're making me laugh. Steve, here's where I part company from our esteemed colleague. and I feel pretty confident saying this, the Falcons, they're reeling. I don't have any confidence in what's going on in Atlanta. I listened to Raheem today at the podium. He don't have any answers. All he kept saying is, we got faith in Kirk Cousins.
Platitudes.
Oh, you do? He's playing terrible football. That's not a good football team, which makes it even worse that the Bucs were swept by him. Even worse. So, Steve, what I'm saying is, I used to think 10 was the magic number. Now I'm thinking it might be 9, because I'm not sure Atlanta can go 3-2. Steve, can the Falcons win 3 of their last 5? I don't know that they can.
Wow.
I think the Bucs might win this thing at 9-8.
I agree with you in that standpoint, Ira. And
the Saints are
It's
out
all
it.
Relative. It's the same thing in the NFL every year, right? This is what the league wanted when they added the 7th wild card team per conference. They wanted exactly what we're sitting here talking about right now. So right now, Ira, 19 teams in the NFL do not have a winning record. So you got to keep it in perspective. The Bucs are a playoff team because of what's around them. Yes, they have the best quarterback in the division. Yes, they have the best head coach in the division. Okay? Now, that's not a high bar, Ira, but that's the reality. And they probably have the most talent.
You
got to
write a story about that. You're not. I had to think about that a while, but you got a point. But you still got to write a story about that because people will go bananas.
I just heard Buck Nation do a collective. Are you out of your mind?
I had to think about that for a second.
Coaches, but I'd rather have Todd Bowles than Raheem Morris. What has he done?
Yeah,
he's overseen a tremendous collapse, and we know what his past was. So the situation is the Buccaneers, they were awful yesterday. But if we go back to last year, they were one play, and we sat in Indianapolis, and I asked Jason Light about this, and Todd Bowles and Dave Canales, they were one Rashad White fourth down run from the season being over against a crappy team, dismal Desmond Ridder at quarterback. So we're in the same boat, and against the Panthers to end the season, it took a miracle play by Antoine Winfield at the goal line to knock a touchdown out. And the Bucs won 9-0. If that thing's not knocked out, it's a game. And that was a Panthers team that was way worse than this one. Bryce Young, like, was lost in the headlights.
You mean Antoine Winfield's play was bigger than Joe Tryon Shoyanka's sack?
Yeah, a little bit. So we saw this last year, and now the Bucs pull out a miracle. Now, I'll give Anthony Nelson this. What he did on that last play is exactly what they work on in practice. You're coming back to the ball to get the receiver. You go in for the strip. You're on a good angle and all that. So he got his job done, and there's no certainty that they would have made that field goal from whatever it was, 40 yards at that point. So regardless, the Bucs had some serious screw-ups in this game, and that troubles me. You know, you can't run for all those yards and not have a commanding win. That's horrible. Mayfield is a lot to blame. Now, what's Todd Bowles going to do about his quarterback throwing 2 horrible picks? If Jameis was here, we'd be hammering the hell out of him. And Mayfield, 2 terrible picks. That's not Todd Bowles' fault. It's not Todd Bowles' fault that Liam Cohen on 3rd and 1 on the 2-yard line loses 4 yards with a run to Rashad White.
When they can go up by 8 points.
Where's the quarterback sneak? To say and make a decision, look, we got the best offensive line. This is the worst.
Maybe the feeling was Mayfield was injured. We can't do the quarterback.
That's fair.
Maybe. But they didn't make a decision to handle it differently. And I get you lose 4 yards, you're not going to go on 4th and 5 or whatever. But they didn't put the ball in the hands of their best players again. And they got some serious issues, man. The Panthers are not very good. They do have a good offensive line. They've had one all year. That's why Hubbard's had a good year. It's not a great line, but the whole rest of the team stinks. And the Bucs aren't a good team. But what's out there? You got to be realistic. What's out there? You know, nobody's any good. The Niners stink now. And, you know,
the Cowboys stink.
Atlanta lost. Ugh. The Cowboys stink. I mean, there's a lot of bad football out there. Could 9 do it? I don't know. I still think they need 10. And if they don't win 10, I'm not going to be satisfied. How about that?
Lee, I want to talk about Buck defense for a minute. Uh-oh. There's a couple of points. 1, overall, this might sound crazy. I don't think the defense was bad yesterday. I thought it was okay. I thought Carolina had some short fields from bad punting and a couple of picks. So that's not on the Buck defense.
Well,
now let me flip the coin, Lee, before you get your hands in the meat. 1.
Like pass, John pass Madden rush, and you're looking.
Pass rush, lousy. Lousy.
What's new?
Lousy. No
what's
good.
What's new?
Too much time for Bryce Young. Too much time. Yeah, Kansas had a couple of plays here and there. But, you know, you're talking about 40 snaps.
He made me money. I put money on him to get a sack.
Speaking of money, I was just looking in my...
What, you didn't cut your check?
No, I'm looking at one of my drawers. You went to Vegas and said the Chiefs, you put over on 11.5. I'm going to make $94 out of that, Lee, once you tell me how to cash that.
There should be directions on the back of it where to mail it in.
All right, last thing on the Buck defense, Lee, and I can't give any excuses on that. Letting Carolina drive the field with the soft coverage again? Soft. Wide open, nobody around them, Lee, at the sidelines, again and again.
Somebody tell the Bucs when it's 2nd and 20 after a penalty or 2nd and 16
yards.
The idea is not to allow the other team 11 yards.
That's a great point,
with
Steve.
Defense
thinks they're doing their job. You're not doing your job.
With no opposition to get to 3rd and 7. No, that's not the goal, is to give up 12 easy yards.
You're right.
Okay, you set me up with this. I wasn't going to bring it up right now, but I'm going to bring it up right now. We just spent 15 minutes talking about awful coaching, awful decisions, etc. Even though I'm a big Liam Cohen fan, even though I like Todd Bowles, great guy. The guy you hate that I keep bringing up, who's an intimate of Bill Belichick.
Lombardi, yep.
Said on Chris Russo's show Friday,
I saw your write-up.
That don't count out the Bucks and how much Belichick loves Mike Baker.
That was ominous.
I mean, he's intimate of Belichick's. He knows him. He's a friend. Belichick dines at his house. Worked for him for many years.
He said Jacksonville's the favorite.
Now, here the key is, what does he think of Trevor Lawrence? But what your reaction when you read my story quoting Lombardi, like, the Bucks aren't open yet, but watch out.
I thought that was significant because he knows what the back channels are like. He is connected. It's not Chris Russo saying it. It's Lombardi saying it.
There's two layers to it right now. Number one, the biggest for me is Lombardi actually works with Belichick right now on Belichick's YouTube
co-host
channel.
A podcast,
they do a show together. So, it's not by phone. They're sitting together in that studio. So,
and they talk off camera,
now,
obviously.
Also, we know Lombardi knows the game as a former executive. He knows what the more teams he throws out there, the more it helps drive the price up for
his
client.
Like Lamont doing it with Gruden. He's a master at it.
You know, and I'm starting to wonder, is it possible with Belichick, is it possible that Artie Blank comes back and says, Bill, I screwed up. I should have brought you in. We got...
I don't think he could fire Morris after 1 year.
Why not?
It wouldn't look good.
If you're talking about the tank job that you think's coming.
He's big on opportunities
I think
he'd think twice about it, Steve.
Yeah, I agree with you.
He'd think long and hard, but it's possible if they don't win another game.
Now, Ira, I don't know if you saw this or not, but not this weekend, but last weekend, Diana Russini of The Athletic. She does a good job.
She writes what I hear.
Yeah, and she's plugged in, although she was dead wrong about the Bucks in the Super Bowl, but that's we're not perfect. All anyway, right. She talked to X amount of NFL suits and coaches. What do you hear about, who's going where? And she said frequently, quote-unquote, that's the word she used, frequently she heard from NFL suits and coaches, look out for Belichick and the Bucks.
Now, Bowles wasn't at the top of the coach pyramid in terms of being in trouble, but they keep throwing that out. They keep throwing out that Belichick angle, Steve. There's something to it because of Jason Light.
I was going to say Jason Light, yeah.
And the Glazers.
It could be a plant from the Glazers to feel out how fans may react out there.
The Glazers have a relationship with Belichick.
Yeah, Belichick told him to hire Schiano. Yeah,
well... regardless of that, they still have a relationship.
Let's go back to the game. So Mike Evans, Ira, great game.
Great catch.
He was there. Hall of Fame catch with J.C. Horn on him, who's their best...
arguably their best
defensive player this year. And the streak, he only needs 479 yards in 5 games. That's very much in range, especially if you consider how the Bucks may push that in the last couple of games. Does it concern you guys that still no deep shot to Evans? Is that a tip-off that he's hurt still?
Yeah. I don't know about hurt, but not 100%.
I'll grant you that, Steve. I'll grant you that. I'm not going to argue with 8 catches and 118 yards.
No, great game. That's his best game since his big game in the playoffs last year against Detroit. That was pretty cool. Now, Bucky Irving, Ira, his 5.5 yards a carry is extraordinary.
It is.
And that would be the best in Bucks history. Ronald Jones had the best season.
You love saying Ronald Jones in this podcast.
In Bucks history, 5.1 yards a carry. So Bucky's on pace to
and he might have more carries than Irving's going to get that year. Maybe.
He had 200. Irving, I don't think he's going to get there. He's got like 133.
Irving's going to get 1,000 yards, though.
He's got to get the ball enough. He's on pace now for 1,037, but he should get there. He's got 730 or so.
Well, that pace doesn't mean anything because
they got to give him the ball.
Because
his
numbers have grown as the season's gone on.
I should have saved this. I didn't. Yards after contact behind the line of scrimmage. Like, whenever a Bucky gets touched at the line of scrimmage or behind, he's second in the league for yardage.
Fantastic.
Guess who's number one?
Barkley?
Yes, and guess how many more yards he has than Irving when he's touched behind the line of scrimmage?
Total yards?
Well, what's the difference between Irving's total and Barkley's total? I don't have the total number with me, but what's the difference?
I don't know, but I already pulled Barkley out of my butt, so I'm feeling I'm ahead of the game.
Barkley has 1 yard more than Bucky Irving when he's touched behind the line of scrimmage.
Wow.
Uno. But let's give Rashad White the ball and run left.
You saw that you saw that graphic. You didn't need the graphic, Steve, because you read it in my column last week that the only 3 guys with more touches and a better yards per carry was right. Derrick Henry, Jamar Gibbs, and Barkley. That's it.
Pretty good company.
That's good company.
Yeah, now,
good
Ira, look, this guy, we've been screaming, or I've been screaming since before the season even. Just give him the ball. If he shows he's better, just, you know, the hell with Rashad White. Irving's now has more average yards per catch than White. And
they like the combo.
And he leads the NFL in catch percentage, which we talked about last time.
Yes.
So he's doing it all. Obviously, White had that big run in overtime and has had a good season. Not to the special degree he was in the past game last year.
He's not a gifted runner, and Irving is.
No, it's fine.
Do you think the reason why we don't see as much Irving as we want is because, I'm going to use the word you would use, diminutive. He's a smaller guy, and they figure, analytics come into play as in a sense, like if you give him X amount of carries, he's going to get hurt.
Yeah,
so.
They don't want to overburden him. But I'm telling you, with 5 games remaining, you go with your best players, Steve.
How about resting him after the season's loss?
You know what play bothered me? Lee, bothered me. Still bothers me. Remember when Bryce Young broke containment and ran to the right and then throws a 25-yard pass? There's nobody near the guy.
What the hell happened?
Was that Izzy? That might have made him move up.
When he hit the touchdown, you're talking about
I'm talking about the touchdown.
Oh, not the touchdown.
I'm talking about a play where he broke containment.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Broke out of the pocket, ran to his right, and threw down the right sideline. There's nobody near the guy for 30 yards.
I thought Yaya had a bad angle on him. When I say bad angle, and I remember this, my ex-NFL player, coach, taught me this. Inside shoulder, your inside shoulder, the running back's outside shoulder. They should be even. They should be even because they can't juke you outside that way. And I thought it was Yaya. I could be dead wrong. Whoever was having contained, they went inside on him, and he's so quick.
Well, Lee, I'm less pissed off about breaking the containment than having the guy wide open 30 yards.
I got to watch it again, Sage.
Izzy and Lee, he's not great, but he can play.
He missed some bad tackles, man.
Yeah, he had a bad play.
One bad play, but overall he did okay. Overall, he did okay.
He's functional.
The lack of edge rush, we've talked about it, but it's really astounding.
It really showed up
yesterday. But it was astounding yesterday because Yaya played like 93% of the snaps. He finally got cut loose, and he had nothing other than some nice plays in the run game.
He's solid against the run. He's very solid against the run,
but nothing. And factor in that they just lost their starting edge rusher. Nobody missed him, and the edge rush was bad, and still nobody missed him. That's how bad it's been. That Tryonchenko wasn't there. You know, what's his name? Nelson obviously had a few good hits on the quarterback. At least got a couple shots in. But it's sad.
Even the push up the middle was not nearly what it was against the Giants.
No, it wasn't.
You said Carolina's O-line's good. Yeah.
I want your feedback on this rumor. I don't know what you think about this rumor, but I want to hear your feedback on this rumor.
It's got anything to do with Rachel Watson?
Well, that would be a great rumor. No, okay. This is the rumor. Chris Braswell.
What about him?
He's a rumor.
Oh, yeah.
Awful.
I'm not going to judge him after.
Judge him.
I'm not, Steve. I'm not going to do it.
We're 12 games in. He can't be Noah Spence. Come on.
I almost puked.
He's not doing well.
He's not. But, Lee, I can't judge him after.
I understand he was college teammates with Bryce Young, but you're not doing anything. Stop having little chats with Bryce Young in between plays. Stop it.
I'm out of patience with this edge rush. I mean, when the defensive line coach, or where the hell Casey Rogers' title is, when he goes up 3 weeks ago, I was there. He said, we don't care about where the sacks come from. Okay, I understand in theory, but you don't care about an edge rush? That's irresponsible, man. And I'm out of patience. I don't care if the shot callers at one buck get pissed at me. I don't care if the coaches get pissed at me. The bottom line is, you don't have an edge rush.
find somebody. And I know you can't do anything now, but damn it, this offseason, go out and get somebody. And I'm not talking about a dude that can't put a bong down.
You've done a very good job, Lee, in the last month trying to put some numbers on how important sacks are as drive killers.
They are.
And there's no disputing it. The analytics are very, very clear.
I just wanted to clear up something for our audience. That's why we're outside Panera, not inside Panera.
Why? Why?
Lee, hollering.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do here.
Oh, wait a minute. Steve, we haven't mentioned your favorite player. The punter.
Oh,
what do you have to say about this?
They caught him. They caught him. He's gone.
Oh, he did. Cut him?
Oh, yeah, they caught him.
Yeah, it must have been when I took my nap. Oh, good.
So, that's two punters they've cut.
Two punters.
Oh, he was terrible.
They have some guy in the practice squad. He deserved to go, and that's that. I got a very important question for you, Ira, because I really think it's at the core of a lot, and it may even soothe Lee a little bit, which you know, that's going to be tough on this painful Monday, Victory Monday.
Hollow Victory Monday.
Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira, they're there for everybody. It's always a victory. They're always there 24-7. Floridaselite.com. Get there. Check out all their services so when you have that disaster at your property, you're prepared. Look at their Google reviews, 5 stars. And remember, when you do call Ira Kaufman, just mention, hey, I heard about you guys from Ira, Joe Bucks fan. And after your free evaluation, when they come to your house with all their technology and look at everything and go over and explain to you what it'll take to restore your property, if you actually sign up with them, then they'll give you $500 back, cash, or money for your deductible. Floridaselite.com. All right, Ira, here's the important question, now, because this is still the NFL. And is it fair to look at this game and say, you know what, when you don't get a good performance from your quarterback and he throws the ball away on the road a couple of times, and yeah, he did some good things, but overall, not so good. He wasn't running early in the game like and taking easy yards like he had in the past.
Taking key first down.
Two terrible interceptions. Is it as simple to say that, look, you had a terrible day from your quarterback and survived, and not every team does that?
Lee, the way I look at it is simple. It's an average team. Their record's average. Yeah. It's an average team. Now, I want to address Buck Nation. May I address Buck Nation?
The floor is yours, sir.
Here I go.
It's your podcast. The floor is yours.
People aren't going to like it, Steve, but, you know, it doesn't stop me. It doesn't stop me. There seems to be a sense, Lee, you've seen it. You read the comments like I do. In fact, it might be an overwhelming sense that the defense is teeming with talent, teeming with outstanding players, and how can they be in the bottom fourth of the league in all these key defensive categories? Lee, where is this overwhelming defensive talent?
I don't know.
Winfield's not playing well. But they have no pass rush. The inside linebackers are a mixed bag. Levane's been okay. The other guy's a disaster, whoever they throw in there. I don't like the call. McCollum's decent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Dean. Where's the overwhelming talent, Lee? I don't see it.
Well, I've always
said, they should be better than they are.
Yes,
but they shouldn't be elite.
And
absolutely not.
And this is another example of why we're outside.
This is not an elite defense.
No
talent.
Well, here's what I can say, and I've said it before. If you go up to, let's say, a Jim Schwartz, any decent defensive coach that's looking for a job,
Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, Aaron, you go up to him. No names attached. Just say this: if I give you a defense that's got an All-Pro in the secondary, a linebacker core that is a borderline Hall of Famer, and 3 first-round picks in the front seven, could you work with that? Every one of them say, hell yes.
3 first-round picks that aren't any good. I mean,
Vita's no good.
Two of them.
Kansas's no good.
Well, I thought you meant Tryon and
He's a first-round. He's a first-round pick, so somebody must have thought he.
By the way, we've gone 3 podcasts without mentioning Logan Hall. How long are we gonna mentioning Logan Hall
after that 2-sack game?
Yeah, his name was mentioned.
Do you see elite talent on this?
Yes,
defense?
I do.
What?
Yes, I do.
You now have the floor. Explain that.
First,
to me.
Let me say, everyone out there screaming in Bucks land, and a lot of national guys screaming hurrah because the Falcons went out and signed Matthew Judon, big money, off the Patriots. He sucks in Atlanta.
But he's better than what the Bucks have.
No, he's not. He's not.
What's he got? How many sacks?
2.5.
Keep going, Steve.
That's better than Tryon.
Keep going, Steve.
Oh, they also signed Justin Simmons, safety. Oh, this guy's been an All-Pro. This thing.
Put him with Bates. It's fantastic.
He's done nothing. Their defense isn't any good. So
that doesn't explain that the Bucks have elite defensive talent.
No, but that's on Raheem Morris. He's got talent there to work with a little bit.
No, he doesn't.
He's got Grady Jarrett up front. He's got good linebackers. Come on. He's got talent. He's got at least one good cornerback for sure. The Bucks have two guys on the front line that are studs. Like Lee said, Lavonte David is still an excellent player, football player. Tyke Smith's done a lot of good things. Injury, unfortunate. But he's there, and they've benefited from him. Winfield is still the talent. I don't know what the hell's going on with the guy.
I think he's still hurt.
And you've got two guys who are elite athletes at cornerback. Dean,
I don't want to hear about elite athletes.
Well, they are. Dean at the combine with 4.3 guy. He's the guy.
The combine? That's 27 years ago.
Yeah, but he's shown that he's got elite athletic skills. Same thing for McCollum. Develop the guys. They're not developing these guys.
He couldn't have a pick if I threw the ball. He couldn't have an interception.
Well, you know what I always say about that? Sean Sullivan always brings this up. You know what I always tell him? If he can catch, he'd be a receiver.
Hidden loss in that game, seriously, because he had made a couple of plays. Hidden loss was Mike Edwards going down. He had made a couple of plays in that game. And when they brought in Tavier Thomas to play back there, it was not good. Not good. But it's a mess. I'm going to say this.
Well, two key guys are underachieving. Winfield. And David's not having the same year he had last year.
Well, no. For a 34-year-old, he's pretty damn good.
Pretty damn good, but not as good as last year.
Well, no, but again, he's 34 years old. I mean, he's not 24.
Sage, I'm going to say this in honor of Sean Sullivan, our best-in-class podcast host, our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, and the master of disaster at BillCurryFord.
How was his Black Friday, Steve? Any idea?
How was it?
Is
that something you ask somebody? How was your Black Friday?
Well, in terms of sales.
It was dark. It was dark.
I don't know, but it's always fantastic at BillCurryFord and busiest week of the year. And
his incentives are incredible,
Incredible. BillCurryFord.com. Just start shopping there today. That's the pledge we want everyone to make. Go there first and start there. And you will be impressed. And you
By
won't
the way, this pecan loaf was very tasty.
I'm talking Bill Curry Ford. You're talking pecan loaf. All right. Well, we can all go back to the six-minute mark. And hear Ira chew it if we want to. So, BillCurryFord.com right here.
I think the Bucks are making the playoffs, Steve.
That's just what I was going to say. The Bucks, I'm firm that they're going to make the playoffs. Here's what I think.
I'll take it a step further. I think they're going to win the division.
I think that a lot of these guys are, in fact, embarrassed by what happened the other day on Sunday. I think they'll at least be focused for the Raiders. I think they probably get their doors blown off in Los Angeles. To be honest with you.
Charger offense isn't that good.
No, but I think they're going to.
And then they lost Dobbins. It's the best their best running.
Still, I wrote about that. I really think that's a big issue.
The soft defense is going to be a serious issue.
Chargers are tough.
They play good defense.
They're a tough team. Harbaugh's a tough coach. Yeah.
I don't see the Bucs fixing their defensive issues by then, but I think they have enough here to do it.
You don't think they'll win the division?
The Bucs? Yeah, I do. I think they're going to win the division.
They could be in first place by Sunday. They could be.
I could be sleeping with a Hooters girl tonight.
Well, all they got to do is beat the Raiders, and Atlanta's playing the Vikings.
I'll repeat. After what the Bucs did Sunday at Carolina,
it was poor.
I'm just appalled by it.
Well, Lee's making a good point, Steve. The way the Bucs play, you can't assume they're going to beat somebody.
No, you can't bank on it at all. No way. Real quick, I'm sure
you
this
said
is...
it yourself. Hold on, Lee. The Raiders have lost 8 in a row. What do you mean you can't bank on it? You think the Raiders are going to come
the
out
Bucks
of it?
The Bucs just played a lousy football game. If they do
the
it
again, Raiders always
the
play
Raiders
a lousy,
will hang around.
The Raiders always play a lousy football
like
game.
Like I wrote, if the Bucs play like they did Sunday, the Raiders will stomp their ass. They got talent.
Go ahead, Lee.
I'm not saying they got talent in the sense that they should be a playoff team, but Carolina doesn't have the talent the Raiders have. Here's where Steve's alley. You know, Steve was talking about gambling. Chargers -1 on Sunday. It was money laying on the sidewalk waiting for someone to pick up. I couldn't believe that. Yes, I hammered that.
That game was in Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the Chargers were on a short week. As I won't say the guy's name, but I heard this last week. Harbaugh's a tough coach. They got a tough team. They can overcome a short week on the road.
Well said. The Bucs are 7-point favorites. Seven.
As they should be.
Holy shit.
Terrible number. This is a terrible team, the Raiders. Now, Sage, two things. One, I'm starting to think.
That sounds like a trap game.
When you said this earlier, I thought about in 2014, that comical year when the Panthers won the division at 7-8-1. And the Bucs, as we remember, they won two games last year, but they were still mathematically in it in December. And
you mean that year? Not that year.
In 2014. So it was mathematically, it was there. And people were asking Lovie Smith about, well, you know, you've got
to. That was Lovie's first year.
Yeah. It's just one of those years in the NFC South. So, yeah, I could see 9 wins doing it again. But I still think the Bucs have to win 10. Otherwise, the Glazers have to wonder what
Atlanta
the hell's going
on. I know Atlanta was shaky, Lee. They're more than shaky right now.
Really?
When your offensive line is as good as the Bucs is right now, you've got to score and you've got to win against these crappy teams.
I didn't think they gave Mayfield that many clean pockets.
I didn't think the pass blocked well, and I like the guy, but there's no denying that Barton had a bad game. Probably his worst game as a Bucs player.
Yeah,
Bucs center. He was awful. He just seemed like his head wasn't in the game. I'm not saying his head wasn't in the game in the sense that he had some chick on the side. I'm talking about just for whatever reason he wasn't dialed in.
All right, Sage.
Steve,
before
I'm not used to the Bucs running the ball like this.
It's unbelievable.
I think it's fantastic.
It's unreal.
And yet they damn near lost the trash team.
And it's no joke. Like it's not a fluke.
A joke. No.
So Bucky Irving, hopefully that hit pointer is good enough to go.
I don't think I've been overhyping this kid. He's that dynamic.
Here's the money question.
Was there a video shot of the Buck locker room after the game?
Yeah, they were hyped up.
Did Bowles give a little speech?
He did.
I didn't see it.
He
was
very
better than the week before.
Much better. He was basically hugging Anthony Nelson.
Yeah, he was loving Anthony Nelson.
Oh, I got to see that. All right,
so Sage, here's the money question. If Anthony Nelson doesn't force that fumble,
ooh,
Bucks lose, Todd Bowles get fired. Not today. At the end of the season.
There's a good chance he gets fired.
That's what I'm
There's
thinking.
There's a good chance.
What is a good chance, man?
And by the way,
7 out of 10.
Where was Hubbard when Nelson knocked that ball out of him?
I think about the 30. That's what I was saying. Like 28, so, something like that.
Oh, they're field goal range.
I don't know that clown would have made it. I mean,
no.
Well, narrow.
20,
it's but like
25.
I know what you're saying. That was like a first down, though, right? I mean, they would have got more yards.
I don't know what they would have done.
Wasn't Schlereth talking that guy up Panero early in the game?
I'd like to thank Dave Canales for being a coach in the Todd Bowles coaching tree, because Canales, every time he had a chance to step on the Bucs' throat, whether it be two-point plays, early in the game he went for a field goal, they were on fourth and whatever.
Yeah.
Every time he went the conservative route as if he was playing in the playoffs and not with a 3-win team.
And so, the crowd was booing.
And a couple times the crowd didn't like it. So thank you, Dave.
I've got a question, gentlemen, and I bet you haven't thought about this. Especially you, Steve.
Okay.
Your eyes are on my pecan loaf over here.
Ira, everybody knows that's been long gone.
Lee, when Cone did the crazy call, you know, suppose they scored that touchdown.
Which one?
The third and one.
Which one?
Suppose they score a touchdown there.
Game
were up
over.
By one. Hold on. They're up by one.
You mean when Mayfield came off the bench and they threw? Okay.
No, I'm talking about when he lost 6 yards on
White. Okay.
On White.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's say they score that touchdown. They're up seven.
Well, game would have been over, right?
You go for two? Do you go
game,
for two?
Game would have been over.
Bucks were up by...
They're only up seven.
Bucks were up by one. Instead, they kicked a field goal, went up by four. So if they scored a touchdown, they would have gone up by seven. Bowles would have gone for one.
Bowles would have gone for one. I think you go for two.
That was in regulation?
Yes.
Okay, I was thinking it was in overtime. Okay.
I think you go for two. You make it a two-score game. If you don't make it, you're still up seven.
I'm saying Bowles would have gone for one.
Lee, could you see going for two? In that regard?
And then Bowles would have gone
to go up by nine instead of eight?
Well, actually, it's not Bowles. Whoever's in his headset. They're the ones telling him.
Here we are with Greenberg and Jackie again.
You know, Steve thinks I'm nuts, but I the more I think about it, the more that, you know, the analytics people are telling Bowles what to do.
That would have been a horrible loss, Steve. Horrible. And I don't think they could have overcame it. I don't think they could
have. I agree. They've been done.
Loss.
I don't think so, but Sage, we overcame it. Hollow victory.
I'm still irked by it.
Be there Wednesday with Lee. We'll hear what Mayfield's got to say. Bowles. Mayfield's going to play Sunday. Lee's going to play.
Yeah, Bowles pretty much said that.
You know, what do you think Trask was thinking when he got yanked out of
the game? What?
Who am I playing for next year?
We'll ask him.
That's a good one, Lee.
If you don't trust him, don't put him on the field. All right, Sage.
Real quick, I want to apologize to our readers. I guess this morning they went, bellies full of coffee. They went to our site to read glorious details about this Super Bowl winning game, and there's no way in hell I could fake it, and there's no way you could tell that the Bucks won the way I
and
wrote.
And if you would have faked it, Buck Nation would have been upset with you.
Yeah.
They saw it.
Well, the fans are split, you know. That's why I ran that poll. How did you feel? So
and most of them said they were disgusted.
It was no.
Oh,
no,
when
no,
I saw
no,
it, I thought,
no,
oh,
no,
I thought
no.
Lee's right.
No, I'll read you the results right here, Ira. You know, this is like Zogby over here. Zogby,
I thought the first two things were negative.
I thought the first one was disgusted.
And this, the question was, how do you feel about the Bucks' win yesterday? Number one answer was disgusted at 29%.
That's what he said.
Let me finish. 29%. Number two answer was good, 28%. The third answer was not sure, okay? But the fourth answer at 11% was great. So
and how many percent?
You combine
11.
You combine.
He's playing games with numbers.
I'm not playing any games.
The answer that got the most votes
was disgusted.
Disgusted
won the day, and he's right.
It didn't win the day. That's not the majority.
What answer got the most
votes? It was the most votes.
What answer got the most votes? Disgusting. That's it.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Every time I run the Todd Bowles poll, you add up those who say totally confident and very confident or confident.
If you're trying to frame a narrative.
No, it's no narrative. What
the
hell? There's two positive.
How many people voted for disgust? Just say it out loud.
29.
Did anybody else have that number or greater? Any other answer?
No.
No.
That's just.
That's not the majority. That's not the majority.
I understand what you're saying, Steve.
How is 29% a majority of 100?
Lee didn't say it was a majority.
I'm saying what was the most popular answer?
The most.
Disgusted. 29%.
The most popular answers.
And okay. Sir.
Yes, let me finish. 39% said good or great.
No.
No. This is the
answer. You're adding up two answers.
This is good radio.
Because there's two positive choices and two negative.
Let me read
this.
Let me read this.
Can I get another pecan loaf?
Ira.
Okay. Disgusted, 29.25.
Right.
Good, 28.19. Not sure, 23.98. Great, 11.07. Sick, 7.51. I'm horrible at math, but I could swear that 29% is more than 28, more than 23, more than 11, more than 7. The singular answer.
That's the singular answer.
It's not the poll. I'm not making.
That's what I call the poll.
No, what I'm going to say right now is not made up. There are two positive answers, good or great. Those positive answers were hit by 39% of the people. There were two negative, two negative choices: disgusted or sick.
I wish you would have had lousy in there because I would have voted for lousy.
36% said they were disgusted or sick. 39% said good or great. So that's what I'm saying. It was a split decision.
Statistical hopscotch.
Split decision.
Let's get out of here.
All right.